Turn in the scriptures of God's word to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we'll be reading verses 1 through 14. Matthew 7, verses 1 through 14. These are the words of God, and so you must give your attention unto them as He speaks to us now. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it, for the gate is small and the way narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. And that is the word of God. And you look at the first verses, a few verses there about judging, and we hear in some parts of the church, even from the world, Christians, you are not to judge others. And this passage is that which is quoted often or referred to when they say that. But that is not the meaning of the text. The meaning of the text when dealing with brothers and sisters in Christ, this passage cannot be in contradiction to passages like Matthew 18:15 or Galatians 6. When dealing with those brothers and sisters who are in sin. But it's a passage here warning against not the act of judging, but the act of hypocrisy. And it goes on through verses 3 and following. And it goes and it gives the illustration of a log that you have in your own eye. All the while there is a focus not upon this huge log that is, you know, pictured in your minds. The log that's out of your own eye, but you're focusing not on this grave danger of a thing that's in your head, but the little speck of dust that is in your neighbor's eye or your brother's eye. And so when we see someone of the world, someone who perhaps becomes very contentious with when they are reproved, you have verse 6. It's the same thing taught in Proverbs. Like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. And so when we deal with the log in our own eye and then we go being those spiritual ones, Galatians 6, who seek to restore a brother or sister in a spirit of gentleness. Remember also verse 6 of Proverbs that says that we ought to reprove those with a listening ear. If they're not going to listen, then perhaps think about verse 6 here. Don't cast the pearls before a swine. And so the great sin in yourself, you are to focus more importantly on that But if you ignore it and focus on the sins around you, he says you are the hypocrite. We also see verse 12, the principle, the general principle for life and even for these verses is, in everything, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. This is the whole Old Testament. This is the summary, the loving your neighbor as yourself. Verses 7 through 11, beloved, you are to pray. You've been taught how to pray in the last chapter. And now he says you must pray. You can't just know how to pray and then don't pray. You have to actually pray. And so he says, ask and you'll receive. Seek, you will find. And knock and the door will be open to you. And it's a praying with, as we learn in other parts of Scripture, according to the will of God, according to His Word. The reason is given why we would receive, What man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or who asks for a fish and you give him a snake? Well, of course you're not going to do that. And so in this argument from the lesser to the greater, how much more will your heavenly Father give what is good, that is, according to His will, according to His Word? How much more will your heavenly Father give what is good to those who ask Him? Of course He will give it. And finally, verses 13 and 14, the call of the gospel, leading into the call of the Christian life. There's, in these verses, you can't separate being saved and then separate that from the rest of the Christian life. You cannot separate it, and it's shown here. Because if you desire eternal life, the gate is narrow, it says. Christ is the way, the truth, the life. There's only one way in Jesus and through Jesus to eternal life, and by His Word, His commandments. If you love me, He says, keep my commandments. And this is the way to life. Very few find it. The elect find it. And yet very few. But there are many ways to not have life. There are many ways to death forever. There are, we would say, innumerable ways. And so it is described as a wide gate, broad. There are many who enter it and leads to destruction. Are you one of the many who enter that gate? But there's only one way to eternal life and to blessing forever, and that is to turn to the only one who can save you and sanctify you, and that is Jesus Christ. And upon turning to Him, He gives you here principles, Christian, on living the Christian life. It is not just entering into the gate and you stand at the gate, but there is a way, it's a path. And that path itself, the sanctification, is narrow. It is according to His Word alone. And so let us seek to heed His Word. Let's pray. Our Father, we are thankful that You are a God who hears our prayers. We know that even in our prayers, we cannot change Your plan. We cannot change Your decrees. We cannot change You. Because You're a God who does not change. But Father, You call us to pray in Your sovereign plan. And through that sovereign plan, as we pray, You answer our prayers. Father, we ask that we would be men and women and children who pray Your Word, pray Your promises, that You would answer us because You are a God who hears and promises that You hear and answer. And here You say the same thing. For we will receive and find, and doors will be opened for us because we ask for them. According to Your will. Of course You will give us all things good. Because You work together all things together for good to those who love You and are called according to Your purpose. That, for most here, the bedrock of our hope and comfort, being upon Christ Himself. Father, we are thankful that you give us these great word pictures of logs in our eyes, that we would not live as hypocrites. Though we would all confess that we are hypocritical at various times, for we even call people to sin no more, and yet we still sin ourselves. Father, remove us. Remove that sin from us. Remove the log, that we would serve your church in a great way, not only to minister the gospel and proclaim the gospel to one another and to the world who needs to hear your word and needs to receive Jesus. Father, that you would even be cause us to be that iron sharpening iron, the caring brother and sister who confronts sin and rebukes it and corrects it. We're thankful that we have your word to do that, even in the preaching of your word. We have all the scriptures. And we're thankful that all the scriptures that we have, which is your word, and there is no more that is to be revealed to us. We're thankful that this word is for our good, that we would be equipped for every good work. And so, Father, use that word, your word, as such, and be faithful to your promises. May your word go forth and people hear, even our children, that they would hear and believe the gospel unto salvation, and not just justification, but sanctification. That we would all enter the gate, the narrow gate, and we would all walk on the narrow path. A difficult path, yes, but a good path. And a path in which you indwell your Spirit within us, and you equip us for the journey to run the race. We ask that you would, by your Spirit, strengthen us to finish the race. And to finish well, that we would not be like some of those saints of old, like Solomon, who in their later years entered further and further into sin. But that we would be always growing, always being cleansed of sin and putting it to death. Father, we ask now that you would forgive us, and we know the sins we've committed, we've not loved our neighbor as ourself, not treated them as we would want to be treated according to your word. Father, as we seek to turn from that sin, we ask that you would turn us from it unto you, and that you would cleanse us of this sin as far as the east is from the west, and that you promise to do through your Son. And so, Father, do it. And do it now, we ask. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.